Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Monday edition. Thanks, Fats. Thank you very much. Every American, a Smith & Wesson. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There was once a radical Jewish American leader named Meir Kahane, a rabbi, who was assassinated in Manhattan. And he had a phrase, a little phrase called Every Jew at 22. Well, with the beheading going on in America now, being covered up by the FBI and local police, calling it workplace violence, people are freaking out. They're getting very anguished. They're not frightened. They're angry. Let me be very clear. They're very angry that the government is covering this up. And the only answer is to be armed. For every legal American who has the right to bear arms and get ready to defend yourself, because the government will not do it for you. In fact, the government will defend the beheader before he will defend you. Let me show you an example. CNN, of course, we know what that is, a propaganda outlet for the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist networks. CNN has the nerve to say that the Muslim American who cut the woman's head off, an innocent middle-aged white woman, it's a hate crime on top of it all, it's a double hate crime. He cut her head off because she was a Christian, he cut her head off because she was a woman. It was a double hate crime, and they're calling it workplace violence, but wait, it gets worse. CNN, the most despicable of all media outlets, says, listen to this. Suspect in the Oklahoma beheading case tells police he felt oppressed at work over not getting a raise. I swear to God. Now, whoever's running CNN should be fired to run a story like this. Anyone at CNN who's covering up this kind of act of terrorism should be thrown off the air. Suspect felt oppressed at work. Law enforcement sources tell CNN. No indications of link to terror, another source says. Woman who says she's Alton Nolan's sister, his real name now is Joachim Yisrael. Alton Nolan's sister says he's never been a violent person. And worshippers at the so-called mosque he sometimes attended said he was a quiet man. Now, of course, if we got legitimate FBI, they'd be in the mosque today and investigating everybody. They'd be talking to the so-called imam. They would ask for tapes of their speeches, but no. Megan Nolan said, my brother, he's always been a great person, a loving person. He's been a people's person. He's never been a violent person. So for something like this to have happened, we're all still in shock right now. What do you mean something like this? Your stupid, sick, psychotic brother cut off a woman's head and was trying to cut another woman's head off, idiot. Do you care about this? U.S. beheading suspect to be charged. There's another beheading that almost happened. Oh, by the way, before I finish that story, leaders at the mosque he sometimes attended said he was quiet, not outgoing. Saad Mohammed, spokesman for the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City, said, the only time I ever said anything to him was one time. He was in the mosque, and he had his Quran and prayer rug on the floor. And I said, hey, pick it up, because I don't want the Quran on the floor. And he picked it up, and he sat down. That's it. Hey, Mr. Mohammed, how about the head that rolled on the floor in the factory, you... I'm so sick of this. Why do you think the government and the FBI and the media is calling the beheading in Oklahoma workplace violence? Here's a second beheading story from your friends from the Islamic religion. Don't tell me they're not Muslims. They do it in the name of Islam, you idiots, you. This was a beheading on American soil in the name of jihad. Did you hear me? Are you ready for the next one? Oklahoma is in Oklahoma City next on Friday. A fired Oklahoma City nursing home worker threatened beheading. Police say Jacob Mugambi Marithi, a native of Kenya, the president's homeland, was arrested Friday in Oklahoma City on a terrorism complaint. In a bizarre coincidence, a fired Oklahoma City nursing home employee was arrested Friday after a co-worker reported he threatened to cut her head off. Jacob Mugambi Marithi, 30, is being held in the Oklahoma County Jail on a terrorism complaint. His bail is set at $1 million. Blah, blah, blah. The co-worker said that Marithi threatened her while they were both working at the nursing home. A police detective wrote in an arrest warrant affidavit. She said Marithi identified himself as a Muslim. Muslim. Obama would say he's not a Muslim. Anyone who does anything that's negative is not a Muslim automatically. Just as any African-American or Hispanic-American or Chinese-American or Asian-American who no longer votes Democrat is no longer of any value to the Democrat Party. Any Muslim who commits a violent act is no longer a Muslim. This is how the liberalism works. I wrote about this in a book 10 years ago. She said Marithi identified himself as a Muslim and said, quote, he represented ISIS and that ISIS kills Christians. Wait, listen to this. The detective told a judge in the affidavit. The woman said she asked him why they kill Christians. And he replied, this is just what we do, the detective reported. And so Obama's bringing more of them in? More illegal aliens from these countries where they want to kill Christians? The victim said Jacob asked her what time she got off work, and she replied by asking him in a joking manner if he's going to kill her. The detective wrote, Jacob said, yes, I was going to cut her head off. The victim asked Jacob what he was going to cut her head off with, and he said a blade. Then told her after he did it he was going to post it on Facebook. The victim said Jacob was serious when speaking and never made any statements that he was joking or playing around. The woman reported Marithi repeated the threat as she left work, saying in front of another employee that he was going to use a blade, the detective reported. The FBI said Friday about the tragedy and more that there is no current indication of any additional threat to residents of Oklahoma related to that incident. What good is an FBI that covers up terrorism like this? Can you explain this to me? Why do you think the FBI, Obama's Holder's, it's Holder's FBI. You know what Holder's legacy is, don't you? This is Holder's legacy. Did you hear what I just said? Why do you think Obama's FBI is calling the beheading in Oklahoma workplace violence? Any answer to that one? Every American is Smith & Wesson. You see, I'll tell you why the story isn't being covered in your local junk paper. San Francisco has no newspapers anymore. They haven't had a newspaper here for 15 years. It used to be a decent newspaper city when I first moved here. There was the Examiner, the Chronicle. And they were old B newspapers. They were fun to read. They're run by about six or seven psychotics who never cover terrorism stories like this for fear of offending Muslims. They'll only cover anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-straight, anti-police, anti-military, anti-family, anti-church biases. So the newspapers lose $1 million a week, but it doesn't matter to them. It's someone else's money. Did you read the story in your local rag? No, you didn't, which is why talk radio still survives. We didn't make up the story. Then why am I talking about it? To get you angry? Well, you could look at it that way. Maybe if you got angry, you could defend yourself. Is it possible maybe if you're angry enough, you might wake up, moron? What do you think life's about, retiring and going golfing? That's what you live for? Well, go golf if you can. Maybe the caddy will be from Nigeria. And he'll tell you if you didn't tip him right, that's why he cut your head off. That's all. That's what they do. Say, why did you cut the man's head off? That's what we do. Because the infidel didn't tip me properly. 855-400-7282. Why is the government covering up this beheading? Why is the government not calling it workplace violence? Why is the government not warning people to be on the lookout for jihadis around them? Why is the government bending over backwards to cover up every act of terror by a Muslim in America? Tell me why. I have a right to ask the question. Tell me who the racist is. The ones covering up the beheading or Michael Savage talking about defending yourself against the next beheader? See, my position is very clear. It's really very clear. It's very simple. It's straightforward. I don't mince words. The White House must address the Oklahoma beheading. I mean, he was there for Trayvon Martin. The great Obama came out for Trayvon Martin, didn't he? Holder went down to Ferguson to see if he could steam up the crowd and have them riot right through the election, didn't he? Where are they now? Trayvon Martin, Ferguson, Missouri. Why have we heard nothing from whatever his name is, Holder, Obama, about the Oklahoma head cutting? I'm not being conspiratorial, but time and time again, we see the same kind of treatment from the White House. Every time Islam is at the heart of violence, the White House is silent. I'll let you figure out why. Head off the beheaders before they come for you. Remember, he was stopped by the factory owner who shot him dead before he cut the next woman's head off. Now, this is a twofer why the media didn't cover it. One, he was black. Two, he was a Muslim. 3, it was an act of terror on American soil. And 4, he was stopped by a law-abiding, Second Amendment-owning gun owner. Do you realize what a threat that is to the psychotic perverts who run the media? Now, I use the word pervert not in a sexual deviancy manner because I don't know their sexual orientation or proclivities. I could care less. I really don't care. I'm a sexual libertarian. I don't care what anyone does with their bodies as long as they leave the children alone and it's consensual. I really don't care. It's not my business. I call them perverts because they perverted the meaning of the word news. They perverted the word the meaning of the word journalism. That's why. That's a perversion. Do you understand that? So again, I throw it open to you. If this is too heavy for you, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to talk about? I can do no politics, but I'm not going to do that today. I did it last week. I did some great shows last week. Did the Rosh Hashanah show. I could tell you what I cooked this weekend. If you'd like a cooking recipe, I'm not going to do it. I'm not in the mood. Play the glass animal thing for them. Play the glass song, whatever that is. This is for the younger crowd, under 12. We're changing music.
Put your hate inside my big black wild wild. I can still help you.
Thanks, sir. Right. Monday's a good day at the Savage Nation. I get along with the guys. They get along with me. Tuesday, we fall into a well together. Bickering, yelling, anger, hostility. By Wednesday, I want to take the day off. One day, a breather for the week. Thursday, it can be a day from hell. Friday's a great day. It always was good for me in school. Monday, Friday is good. Tuesday's a nightmare. A nightmare because that's when the weekend, you don't want to, like how many times can you eat your heart out over this with no government? We have government anarchy is what we have right now. Do you understand what we have now? Let me explain what that means. This is government, this is an anarchistic government. You say liberal, socialist, all right, yeah, loosely true. Fundamentally, you have government anarchy. You have an abdicated government. There is no government. The only time the government acts is to take your money or arrest you if you defend yourself. There's your government for you. Thank God the traffic lights aren't controlled by Eric Holder. Well, he turned red, green, and green, red. In other words, if you understand that. They have everything upside down because it's Alice in Obama land. All right, I made my point. A lot of people are very angry right now, and some are frightened, incidentally. This is no joking matter. When you have Muslims, converts mainly, and immigrants from Kenya who are running around with knives saying they're going to cut people's heads off, and local police have been so caponized, they have been so gelded that they can't even call terrorism terrorism, you're down to the wire in defending yourself. You better go get a gun and you better learn how to shoot it. You go to a range and you defend yourself because the police can't. They'd like to. Don't get me wrong. They'd like to blow their heads off if they could. You're going to have to defend yourself. We've reached a point of government anarchy in this country. Do you understand what I just said to you? We're facing a time in America now. We have at least 2 more years left of this anarchistic government where every man is going to be for himself. So every American, a Smith & Wesson, which is not what I recommend. It's not a bad gun. An SMW-38 snub-nose Magnolite's not a bad weapon, but in a woman's hand, it'll fly out of your hand. If you're not a gun, if you never shot a gun before, the recoil is so hard on it and the sound is so loud, you'll get scared. I don't recommend it for liberals. A 38 Magnolite, the first time a liberal shoots it, they probably wind up in a mental institution if they didn't actually shoot themselves in the foot or kill somebody in a range. So I would not recommend that gun. Start with a BB gun. If you're a liberal, I suggest you buy a Daisy BB gun and go outside and shoot to paper targets. And then work your way up to a 22, you know what I'm saying? Then eventually get yourself a real defensive weapon. I don't want to talk about guns. Take no gun calls. That's the end of the show. I know people in this business who ruined themselves in radio in 1991, 92, 93, 1986. They were gun talkers. There's 3 subjects that will destroy your show. You want to hear it? Here, guns. Hey, Mike, when you reload, how many grams of powder do you use to get a reload? That's show death. Here's the next 3rd rail is his suicide in radio. Gun talk. The next 3rd rail in radio is abortion talk. And the 3rd rail, the 3rd rail in radio is UFOs. You'll get people talking about it, but it's about 0.0001% of sane people. So I'll go back to the topic I'm talking about, which is the story that your newspapers won't cover, which is the Muslim maniac. Well, he wasn't a maniac, actually. He was quite sane. He did it in the name of Allah. He cut her head off. He was trying to do another head. He was following the teachings of ISIS. They said we wanted lone wolf attacks. So infidels, why do you think the FBI is calling the beheading in Oklahoma workplace violence? It's really a simple question, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Are you saying that this is not really a war?
Well, what I'm saying is that we are assisting Iraq in a very real battle.
The parser-in-chief was on 60 Minutes broadcast last night, and people are criticizing Steve Croft, saying they were softball. By the way, I saw the opposite. Steve Croft's questions were hardball. Obama's answers were typical Obama, slithering out of every question, because that's what he does. He's a slitherer-in-chief. The parser-in-chief wouldn't answer a single question. Don't blame Steve Croft. The man asked him, you're saying this is not really a war, and he gives him a double talk, like a reptilian answer. That's all. The real question is, how do you feel about the FBI calling the beheading in Oklahoma workplace violence? How do you feel about it? Sue, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I just wanted to say I didn't sleep all weekend. This thing kept me up at night. I looked desperately for news on this, and I feel like a humiliated American. I cannot believe.
Well, the Christian Science Monitor says it's not an act of terrorism. They said there's no evidence to suggest that Elton Nolan has any formal connection with terror groups.
That people are
but his own Facebook page said that he was. He was sympathetic toward extremist Muslim groups, terrorists, in other words. He posted rambling Islamist invectives. He posted photos of Osama bin Laden. He posted an image of a decapitation to his Facebook page. So what the hell are they talking about? What good are these damn people with their $150,000 salaries and guns and badges? Screw them all! They're worthless! They're not defending us. They're preventing us from defending ourselves from these animals.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
America is talking about the Muslim who beheaded, meaning cut the head off, a poor, middle-aged, defenseless white woman in a factory. And America is pissed off at the FBI and the local police who are calling it workplace violence. They're especially pissed off at the Democrat machine. They're angry at Obama and Holder for stirring up hatred wherever it appears that they can do so, and yet defending radical Muslims whenever it appears that a Muslim's involved in terrorism. This is a terrorist event. And yet even the Christian Science Monitor, which, as you well know, is run by psychotic liberals, has a headline, "So far there is no evidence that Alton Nolan, the man who was accused of beheading a co-worker in Moore, Oklahoma, had any formal connection with terror groups." What kind of nonsense is that? What do you mean formal connection with terror groups? You morons, you. This is not the Christian Science Monitor. This is the anti-Christian Wicca Monitor. The anti-Christian Wicca Monitor. That's who took over the Christian Science Monitor. They know what this is. They know exactly what this is. How do you feel about this? You feel good that the FBI is covering it up? Do you feel good the government won't talk about it? Do you feel good that your newspapers are talking about the next starlet slut and her workplace, her wardrobe, whatever? I'm sick of this. And I want to talk about it because I want to know what you think. Ohio on the Internet. Sue, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to say that I think that the next targets are going to be American mothers with their children in strollers at malls. Because these, by jihadi, women jihadis, because they target the weakest people.
And yes, because they're cowards. Fundamentally, these are all cowards. What would you call a big strapping man from Africa who cuts a poor defenseless chicken plucker's head off with a knife? Would you call him a brave warrior of Islam?
Of course not. I mean, he's not a man. He's a monster.
Well, what made him a monster? How did this chicken plucker become a monster?
Well, I think...
Who put this hatred in the chicken plucker's head? Who empowered this chicken plucker to think that cutting off a defenseless middle-aged woman's head is a manly, religious thing to do? You don't even have to answer the question. The question itself has the answers in it. We all know what's going on. We're not stupid. This nation was not built by idiots. It's run by morons. It doesn't mean it's inhabited by morons. It's run by very evil morons.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Evil, 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 evil. What would you call a government that is like this? What would you call this? A good government? So you say, okay, fine. What would you want them to do? Well, he went out for the Trayvon Martin case, made a big deal about that, said Zimmerman was a monster. So far, the great hope hasn't said one word about this poor woman being assaulted and killed here in Oklahoma. Not one word about it. And this is a result of Eric Holder. You understand that. Now, he's not gone yet. Holder resigned, but he's not yet. He's gone. No, he's not gone. He's still there. Why is Eric Holder not there? He should be there. He should be in Oklahoma City telling the people not to worry, that they're going to defend them, and that the entire federal government is behind them, and that they're working on stopping jihadists in America. They're going to arrest all of them in advance. They're going to check their Facebook pages, and anyone who's posted beheading videos, anyone who talks about Osama bin Laden in a positive way, we're arresting them. We're deporting them if they're illegal aliens, or we're going to imprison them and that until they're held for trial. That's all. That's what a sane government does. What is a government? Government. A government. What does it govern? What does it govern? It's supposed to protect you. The number one job of a government is to protect the population. And when it starts to not only not protect the population, but attack the population, then what kind of government is it? It's called the Obama administration. That's what kind of government it is. So I'm not going to do this for 15 hours this week, but I am very, very upset. I told you there was a second beheading attempt in Oklahoma City on Friday from another Muslim, and he told a woman he was going to cut her head off at the nursing home. And when she said, well, why do you want to do it? He said, I represent ISIS and that ISIS kills Christians. The woman said she asked him why they kill Christians and replied, quote, this is just what we do. We do? We do? You mean, wait a minute. He's a native of Kenya. He's a Muslim. And he said, that's what we do. Well, at least Jacob Mugambi Murithi is being held in the Oklahoma County Jail. You know what's interesting about this? These two cases are in Oklahoma, the heartland of America. And you know that this year the Oklahoma State Legislature tried to pass a law prohibiting Sharia law from becoming any form of Sharia law being passed in Oklahoma. Do you remember what happened? They were attacked by the Muslim front groups. They were attacked by the government itself. And I think the measure went down in flames. They knew what was going on. The guys who run Oklahoma know what threats there are in their state. We ought to get the senator from Oklahoma on, the great senator from Oklahoma on this case, and let him go on record for this. Neil, let's work on that for tomorrow, Robert, our friend there in the Oklahoma. You know who we got to, I mean, we got to talk about this. This is getting sickening. The people are going to become anarchists if this keeps up. You know, that's what's scaring me. It's almost by design the government is driving you to that point. I know I didn't want to talk about my book today. I was going to hold my fire until Wednesday and then ask you to go buy it. But stop the coming civil war is what I really, in my guts, in my DNA, I fear. I almost fear the government wants it because they could have absolute power if they've had it. We have entered a time that is as dangerous as that during the Lincoln years. As happened in Abraham Lincoln's time, we're moving not toward expanded freedom but toward civil war. Like Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, Obama sees the military now as his palace guard. As his palace guard. I'll tell you more about it as the time goes on, but I want you to go to BarnesandNoble.com and buy a copy now to drive it back to number one so the message is sent out there. Do you get it? This is a very serious time in America. We're not at a tipping point. We've passed that a long time ago. We're way past the tipping point. We're now at the point of I don't have the exact word for it. I'm a man who never loses my words. Never. Never do I lose my words, but I can't say what I know we're at, where we're at, rather. How do you feel about the FBI and the government covering up the beheading in Oklahoma, saying it's workplace violence? Michigan, WJR, Joe, go ahead, please.
The problem is we let these ninnies get away with qualifying Fort Hood as workplace violence. I mean, once you do that, what else is there? I mean...
Well, Major Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major at Fort Hood, was signaling his jihadism. On every report he signed, praised be to Allah. Now, what would happen if a Christian doctor signed praise Jesus on every medical report in the Army? Would they let him do that?
He'd get fired. They can't him.
Well, screw them. Screw these cowards, these spineless cowards who are running everything. I'm telling you, we have to take the country back. Don't you understand it's every man for himself? And there's nobody above you that's better than you? They're not better than you. They're worse than you are. When it comes to self-defense, they're not going to be there for you. So, what am I saying for you to do? I want to be clear so you don't misinterpret me. I don't want to be misinterpreted by my enemies, of whom there are many. And they work overtime. They take all my words and twist them. What am I actually telling you to do? Do I have to spell it out for you? WABC, Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Anthony, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I just wanted to say that I think you speak with the genius of the prophets of Israel. And I believe that America needs to hear your words, heed your words, and that you're offering America a way forward, not backward.
And yes, but I'm often vilified and not only misunderstood, I'm vilified by the enemies of freedom and the enemies of America. They've made me into the enemy rather than the guy who cut a woman's head off. Do you understand that?
I do, but you're not the enemy. You are the lone voice of sanity in this crazy world. People don't like...
You know, you touched on a critical word. You said crazy world. I have younger friends, some work for me, some don't, not many, associates, who are actually cracking up from the strain right now. They are cracking up from the fact that they can't defend themselves because the government has hamstrung them and turned them into sort of the enemy. They've turned them into cannon fodder. They don't know what to do. They feel hopeless. Do you know that? And helpless, they don't know what to do. Everywhere they turn, they feel that they're the enemy instead of those who really are the enemy. They don't know what to do, these young people. All right, Anthony, thank you for the call. I don't think I'm going to stay on this track for the whole show, but it's your show as well. I want to go back to a mixed track today. Steve Croft on 60 Minutes questioned President O on the show last night. So what I did for you today is I cut out all his questions and almost none of Obama's answers because they were all lies and parsing. So let's start with clip number one because you'll see that they're good questions. Please play one.
A lot of things going on in the world right now. Yeah. A lot of them bad. Yeah. You run into people on the street and they say the world is falling apart. You got Syria, you've got Iraq, you've got Ukraine, you've got Ebola. Is this the most difficult period of your presidency, the biggest challenge of your presidency, this period we're in right now?
Okay. Obama, of course, parses every answer. Now let's hear clip two. Let's just listen to what Steve
made. You spent most of your time in office trying to get the United States out of military entanglements.
Yeah.
And last year at the United Nations, you noted that we were out of Iraq and right. Unwinding our position in Afghanistan.
Right.
And this year, and in your State of the Union message, you said, I quote, America must move off a permanent war footing.
Right.
But it feels once again like we are on one.
And Obama double talks again. You see what I'm saying? These were good questions. Let's go to clip four.
2 years ago in the White House, in this building, you told me you talked about Al-Qaeda being decimated.
Right.
2 years later, you've got Al-Qaeda affiliates and Al-Qaeda offshoots controlling huge chunks of both Iraq and Syria. And you have militant militias, Islamic radical militias, right. In control of Libya.
Again, double talk. Not a straight answer came out of the president. Well, we expect that from him. He says, what else is new? The word Obama is now a verb for lying. You could say to someone, don't Obama me or stop Obamaing me. You may as well change his name to a verb that has the same meaning as lying or parsing. Oh, come on, don't Obama me. Don't give me an Obama. Maybe in 10 years, people will understand what I just said to you. I've never heard an honest thing come out of this man's mouth. You say, oh, they're all politicians. Are you kidding me? Listen to clip number 5.
But I understand all the caveats about these regional groups.
Yeah.
But this is an army of 40,000 people, according to some of the military estimates I heard the other day. Very well trained, very motivated.
Yeah. Well, part of
how did they end up where they are in control of so much territory? Yeah. Was that a complete surprise to you?
Could you listen? Are you listening to this? What was that clip 5, Robert? Well, play the rest of it. I mean, where's President Obama gives the little answer and then Steve comes back. Oh, we heard that? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. My mind was on something else. All right. Okay, let's go to the next hardball question from Steve Croft, who actually is a journalist. I don't know why people said it was a softball interview. I mean, I was shocked. They said softball? No, the answers were all lies, but the questions were all hard.
Okay. I mean, he didn't say that, just say that we underestimated ISIL. He said we overestimated the ability and the will of our allies, the Iraqi army, to fight.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And and
these are the people that we are now expecting to carry on the fight.
Well, what?
Can't you once say you were wrong? Can't you once say you didn't know what the hell you were talking about? Can't you once say you're the reason it happened? Can't you once say anything where people can have faith in the government again? Listen to 7.
You've said that we are not going to be the Shiite Air Force. We're not going to be the Kurdistan Air Force.
That's
we're not going to be the Iraqi Air Force.
Right.
But in effect, with the allies, that's what we have become. We have become the Iraqi Air Force.
Now, okay, I'm going to pause right here because I did something interesting, I think quite ingenious, which is I said, wait a minute, what I'm going to do today for my audience is play Steve Croft's questions with none of Obama's answers which are irrelevant because Obama spins and denies everything. The man does not know how to answer a question honestly. Not a word. I mean, we know he's a politician, but can't one word come out that inspires confidence or faith in government? All right, that's all. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Todd, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Savage, it's a privilege to talk to you. I just want to tell you first off that President Obama is a Muslim. First and foremost.
Let's pause for a minute. Hold. Let me start with this. It doesn't matter whether he's a Muslim, a Christian, an agnostic, an atheist. It doesn't matter for one reason. Because not all Muslims are terrorists. I have to repeat that. Because it's true. And I showed the example of the Muslim female pilot for the United Arab Emirates, whose own family disowned her because she led the air campaign against the Al-Qaeda terrorists. You call them ISIS, whatever you want to call them. And she said it's moderate Muslims like us who have to stand up to them. Okay, so Obama may be a Muslim. His first father was a Muslim from Kenya, the real father. Then the mother, he ditched them. And she married another Muslim from Indonesia. He went to a madrasa, so it's likely that he's sympathetic toward the Islamic religion. So what? That doesn't mean anything. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. At the same time that we have such situations as Muslim converts threatening America, sure, it's not a lot. I admit that. Okay, well, what's one beheading? It's not your mother. It didn't affect anyone in New York. And as you well know, it's in flyover country anyway, so it's not a real story. It's some old woman there over there in Oklahoma. She was nobody. It means nothing to Pinchy Sulzberger. It's not all the news that's fit to print. So therefore, the story didn't make it to the Times. Therefore, it's not covered anywhere in America. The mother, though, had her head cut off by a Muslim who was screaming jihadi things, Facebook postings, Osama bin Laden. Another one almost happened Friday. So why am I talking about it? Oh, it's just to get you angry. It's not to get you vigilant. No, it's to get you angry. Call me an alarmist if you want. I really don't care, but become vigilant. Get angry at me if you want, but become vigilant. Every American is Smith & Wesson.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As a prosecutor, as a judge, and as Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Eric Holder.
Congressional Black Caucus Awards dinner over the weekend. President Obama saluting the worst and most divisive and most lawless attorney general in American history. A villain. A villain in the minds of those in the law business. A villain who has used the law to break the law. Not one word about the beheading of a woman in Oklahoma this week. Not one word about the danger surrounding all of us. And I've asked you again and again, why do you think the government, the FBI, and the media is ignoring the beheading of this poor woman in Oklahoma, and why are they calling it workplace violence? You know the answer, but you may as well, you know, call the show if you want to talk about it. Say, well, why are you harping on it? Go, move on. It's only a woman. Eh, what? Well, Trayvon Martin was only a man. The guy in Ferguson was only a man. And yet the biggest agitators and hate mongers in America were out there agitating mobs. How come there's been no agitation in Oklahoma over this? Why haven't there been 10,000 people in the streets demanding an investigation in terms of terrorism on American soil? Because the people like her work for a living. They work very hard. They're the producers of America. They don't have the time to riot. They have no one to agitate them. And because we have a president who's fundamentally an anarchist when it comes to these things. So I'll ask you again if you want to talk about it, 855-407-282. You know the answer to the questions. There are other topics. However, they don't seem to excite me. Oklahoma beheader shouted Islamic phrases. Police say it had nothing to do with terrorism. The Oklahoma beheader celebrated terrorists and trashed non-Muslims on Facebook. The newspapers say he had nothing to do with Islam. He's wearing one of those caps. He's seen in all of his Facebook pictures with Qurans, with people from radical Muslim nations who agree with him. And so what can I say to you? I mean, it's an important problem we're facing. I'm not the only one fearing this and seeing it and want to react to it. I'm not sitting here shaking. I'm not afraid of them. I hope you're not afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. They're just humans. They're flesh and blood like you are. If you tickle them, do they not laugh? Shakespeare wrote it. If you tickle them, do they not laugh? Sure they do. So what are you sitting in terror of them for? Throw the bum politicians out who are catering to them and put those in who will slam the gates shut on our borders. Slam them shut. Now, on top of this, we have infected children from Central America. Yes, I'll repeat it again. Many of them are infected with this respiratory illness, the virus, which is endemic to the region. Many of them have tuberculosis, which they've brought to towns and cities across America, including Lynn, Massachusetts. If you think this is alarmism, check out Lynn, Massachusetts. There was no TB in the town. It's now in the schools. The Border Patrol tried to warn us, but Obama shut them down. Eric Holder shut them down. The very man that the Congressional Black Caucus was celebrating over the weekend permitted these infected children to come across our borders. Not only permitted, welcomed them in. Flew them around the country without any security clearances. So we have a real problem on our hands. Now we read today, teens across the U.S.-Mexico border alone are entering school. Teens across U.S.-Mexico border alone are entering school. Styled spiky hair and high-top sneakers. And they don't speak a word of English. U.S. schools are now dealing with the fallout from the dramatic spike in the number of children and teenagers who crossed into the United States unaccompanied by family. So you hear what's going on in this country? English immersion newcomers program. Do you know what kind of money that costs? Do you know why your children come home dumber than they went to school? Do you understand what's going on? that they are catering to the lowest common denominator, not the highest common denominator. Do you know what's happened to our bright children? The bright children have been told, you know what, we can't supply you with any education whatsoever. So the kids become truant, so they tune out. Their brains shut off. Instead, the schools continue to cater to the lowest common denominators. Washington, D.C., Miami, Houston. Some of them are 16 or 18 years old, and they're in the first grade. First grade. Imagine your child in the first grade with a 16-year-old with a gang tattoo. Isn't that fun? And, of course, the schools are bending over backwards to help them, not to help your bright child, for example. Let's say you have a bright child. There's loads of help for children who are dumb or, let's say, have learning disorders. Fine, we need that. What about the bright children? How come there's almost no programs for the bright? When I went to school, there was a thing called the SP class, where if you pass certain tests, you got into the special progress class. I went from the 7th grade to the 9th grade. I skipped one grade, and it was funny because I wasn't that good in school. I actually hated school. I hated it. It was like a prison to me. Go figure out. I stayed in school to get 2 master's degrees and a PhD from the University of California. But I actually detested school. I didn't like it. I liked the learning. I didn't like the school. And when I got to graduate school, I found that I was finally in my own element because I was able to think and communicate and converse, you know, in seminars with one professor and one student in some cases, or sometimes 3 students and one professor. That was the Aristotelian learning that I've been waiting for all my life. But the rest of it was rote garbage, force-feeding. I couldn't stand it. I hated it. I really didn't like school. And yet I stuck it out because I wanted a couple of higher degrees that meant something. I knew that they were the marks of education were very important to me personally. That's all. Whether or not I needed this to be in radio, I doubt. And you take a look at the landscape, I would say it's a waste of time from the point of view of the radio business on one hand. On the other hand, it isn't. I mean, the depth of what I bring to the show and the versatility is related to my education. So I'm proud of it. But that's not what I set out to do. I didn't set out to be in the radio business. I wound up in the radio business, and I took to it like a duck to water, and it's been 20 years of riding the waves. But what I'm getting at is there were programs for children who were a little faster and brighter than the others, and they moved me from the 7th to the 9th grade in the so-called SP program. What's interesting about that, there's a side note. I'll remember to this day the teacher had my mother come in, and she said to her, "Mrs. Savage, you know, your son entered school at age 5 because of his birth date. He's going to skip a grade. He's going to be younger than anyone else in junior high school in his class. He's going to be younger than them. It may not be the best thing for him emotionally." I didn't even know what she meant emotionally. She was right. She was right. So in other words, what, they should have left me back so I could catch up to the idiots? I don't know. What do you mean it would have been emotionally? But she was right in a certain way. They should have left me back maybe 2 years so I'd catch up with them emotionally. I was stupid. They had these answers emotionally. What do you do with a bright kid? Punish him. In America, they drug him and punish him. They drug your child if he's bright. You know that. You want to talk about it? You have a bright kid? That's an interesting topic that no one ever covered. Bright kid horror stories. I invented the horror story element of talk radio about 15 years ago. You know, airline horror stories, whatever, restaurant horror stories. I've done them. How about bright kid horror stories? Do you have a bright child who's being abused in school for his brightness? Some idiot teacher told you to put him on Ritalin or whatever they call it. I don't even know the names of the drugs. I have experts on that. I don't know, Alderol, whatever. Speed. They put him on speed to slow him down. Would you believe that? Just have a cup of coffee. It does the same thing. Suck a coffee bean. It might help your kid to focus. That's all. Or take away his allowance. It'll focus him even faster than Ritalin. You take the allowance away. Take away the clicker. Turn the computer off. You know, and you'll see how fast that works to motivate a child. Cut out the sneaker allowance. Don't let him go to a concert. Don't let him download any CDs until he gets a better grade. Whatever. I'm just saying there are ways to motivate children. I'm very lucky. I have 2 children who've done very well in life. They work very hard. You know, it's funny. I'm not going to mention their names. But I'm so proud of both of my kids. They worked so hard. They really worked. Because I come from an immigrant's family, and I was raised with a work ethic. I was raised, though, in a negative way, which is, idiot, do your job. Don't be a failure. Don't be a loser to the family. Don't be a moron. I was raised in the good old-fashioned way. Yelling, screaming, humiliation. It worked. I didn't say that I didn't come out with scars. So what? So what? A child is like an animal. A child has to be told what to do. I love the parents who ask the children every step of the way what the child wants. How does a 5 or 8-year-old know what they want? You go to a restaurant and say, what would you like? How about telling him what to eat? What does he know what he likes? He'd eat candy if you let him pick it. But the parents are stupider than the children. They were raised the same way, basically. Anyway, the point is, my son, I can't mention it because I don't want to, you know, whatever. The thing is, a major interview is coming out with his great success from a major business publication. And he was telling me in the car this morning, he's up visiting me, that in the story he didn't talk about the work ethic that I drilled into him. Now, remember, we grew up in the safe white suburbs here. I was a kind of poor graduate student struggling, you know, two jobs, running to school at night to get my degree. And I got my PhD in 2 years, less than 3 years, which is almost the world's record at University of California, by the way, Berkeley. I did it in about 3 years, which is amazing. I had two children, I had jobs, whatever. But I was driven. I made him take a job at 14 working in Burger King in a Mexican neighborhood. He had to take a bus every morning from home to work in this Burger King. And he didn't hate it. He didn't resent it at all. He said it made him stronger. Now, his friends laughed at him. And they said, oh, what are you working in that? Look at you, a burger flipper. You know, they were busy doing important things like getting stoned or whatever. I don't know what they did. And he worked in Burger King. He took a bus to work. And he said he forgot to tell the reporter that story. I said, well, I hope you don't resent me for these. No, it made me a stronger person. He worked in a health food store cleaning out the trash vegetables. I said, you have to work. I didn't do it out of anger. I said, I mean, maybe you're not going to be happy, but listen, you got to understand the value of money, and you got to work to know what money is. It sort of worked out well for him. And where are the white kids today? Why don't they work? Why don't they wash cars, babysit? Please don't call me and tell me your daughter babysits and washes cars. You know they don't work. You go to a construction site. I carried lumber on construction sites in Queens, New York, till my shoulders bled. My hands were bleeding from blisters. I hated it. How come there are no white kids on construction sites? What are they too busy doing? Tell me what they're doing. Where are they? Why don't they work? How have they become so lazy? I don't understand it. We need imported labor because the white kids won't work, in plain English. You agree with me or disagree with me? It's a long, rambling side note from the cutting off the heads, but in a way it's related to the cutting off of the soul of America, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Throughout his long career in public service, Eric has built a powerful legacy of making sure that equal justice under the law actually means something.
Liar.
That it applies to everybody, regardless of race or gender or religion or color, creed, disability, sexual orientation.
Oh, stop it!
He's been a great friend of mine. He has been a faithful servant of the American people. We will miss him badly.
We won't. Good riddance. Good riddance. Everything that he just said is reverse. Reverse. Where is he now that a woman had her head cut off in Oklahoma? The great attorney general. He was there for Trayvon Martin. They were there for Ferguson trying to stir up the masses to keep rioting, keeping it alive till the election. But when it comes to a white person having her head cut off by an African-American convert to Islam, dare I say the words? They're even hard for me to say. And that's my job. That's my job. My job is to say it like it is. And the day I can't say it like it is, you will never hear from me again. I'll tell you right now. No one owns me. And the day I cannot say it like it is, you will not hear from me. It's that simple. But it was hard for me actually to get those words out. African-American convert to Islam cuts off white woman's head. Not a word from the great Eric Holder or Barack Obama, but he was there for Trayvon Martin. They were there for Ferguson. You say, well, why is that? Well, George Orwell wrote a brave Animal Farm, and in it there's a phrase, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Hong Kong. That's funny. That actually explains it. In Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. That's as simple as that. Orwell wrote it in the 30s. He saw it was coming. And by the way, Orwell wrote that book in reaction to the rise of fascism. Hello? What, because Obama says he's a liberal and makes him a liberal? He's a fascist. By definition, what he is doing is a form of fascism. What is fascism? It's using power over people to bend their wills. It's imposing your will over the people using government power. That's what fascism means. It doesn't have to have a swastika on it. It can come in many different sizes, shapes, colors, or religions. Fascism comes from the Latin word fascio, which means stick. I've told you this many times. Fascia, stick. It goes back to the ancient Roman days when they had sticks, which they used to enforce their will on the people. It was a fascist government. So now they don't have sticks. They have the IRS, DHS. And get the picture. Fill in any of the acronym agencies that you like. That's the new fascia. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Things are bad all over. God, I'm sorry. I know many of you are really agitated, depressed, and sick. I swear to God. I wish to God I could just simply sing a song and entertain you, but I can't. I mean, this is only a limit to what I could do. There's only a limit. How much garbage can you take from these guys? How much garbage can you take from Obama and his lying minions, his merry pranksters? Everything he just said about Holder was a lie. Making sure the law means something and applies to everybody? Why doesn't he rush out to Oklahoma to show that it applies equally? Okay, you know what I mean. Some animals are more equal than others. Fascia. I'm looking it up in Roget's Thesaurus. I want to make sure I was 100% right. I want to check. I'm doing a fact check on myself. I'm not even using a computer. I like it because it smells. It's such an old thesaurus. I had it from college. The pages are yellow and ripped and smells moldy. I'm actually getting a high off it. The new pocket Roget's Thesaurus. This one dates back to the 60s. The pages are breaking in my hand. Let's look up fascia together. Fascist. Before I'm ready, the break hits me in the guts again. I'm going to have an anxiety attack with the music every 15 seconds. Every second, I got to take a break. Before I can develop an idea, the show is over. All right, that's the nature of the business. God bless my advertisers. I'll be here when you come back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, hold it. This is breaking news. No one has it yet in the radio business. No one has it anywhere. Breaking news. Flash, breaking news. Breaking news in the Savage Nation. Attention, Costco shoppers. Breaking news, Savage shoppers. Breaking news. Remember last week there was a White House fence jumper a few weeks ago? Remember they lied and told you that he only got to the front door that was unlocked and he was stopped by a brave Secret Service officer? Well, here's a little update from the right-wing Washington Post. The man who jumped the White House fence this month and sprinted through the front door made it much farther into the building than previously known, overpowering one Secret Service officer and running through much of the main floor of the White House, according to three people familiar with the incident. This is in the right-wing Washington Post, just came out, breaking news. Tell it to your friends. You heard it first in the Savage Nation. Breaking news. He got all the way into the White House, ran through the main floor. An alarm box near the front entrance of the White House designed to alert guards to an intruder had been muted at what officers believe was a request of the usher's office. Okay, so it's what I thought it was. The whole thing was an internal setup. Period, my opinion. They let him jump. They turned off the guard. They didn't release the guard dogs. The Secret Service didn't rush him. They let him in the White House. Something was wrong. This was close. My opinion. They turned off the alarm? The female officer, don't you love it? Girls fly. The female officer posted inside the front door appeared to be delayed in learning that the intruder, Omar Gonzalez, was about to burst through. Oh, she was delayed? What, was she taking a hydration break? That the intruder, Omar Gonzalez, was about to burst through? See, generally, officers are trained that upon learning of an intruder on the grounds, often through the alarm boxes posted around the property, they must immediately lock the front door. But she was confused. The female guard, the female guard was confused as to what to do. She didn't learn that in her book yet. After barreling past the guard immediately inside the door, Gonzalez, who was carrying a knife in the White House, dashed past the stairway leading a half flight up to the first family's living quarters. He then ran into the 80-foot-long East Room. Remember, this is an intruder. No one in the Secret Service stopped him. He got into the East Room. Gonzalez was then tackled by a counter-assault agent at the far southern end of the East Room. The intruder reached the doorway to the Green Room, a parlor overlooking the south lawn with artwork and antique furniture. Okay, he got to the Green Room. Earlier, Secret Service officials said he was quickly detained at the main entry. They were lying. Agency spokesmouth Edwin Donovan said the office is not commenting due to an ongoing investigation, in other words, covering up. People jumping over the White House fence has become a more common occurrence, and most individuals are tackled by Secret Service officers guarding the complex before getting even a third of the way across the lawn. Gonzalez is the first person known to have jumped the fence and made it inside the executive mansion. Secret Service Director Julia Pearson, remember they replaced the man with a woman because they were involved in the hooker scandal in Colombia. They put a woman in. She did a great job. She said the breach was unacceptable. Pearson is expected to face tough questions about the Gonzalez incident tomorrow at a hearing by the stupid idiots in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. The moron. A hearing tomorrow, you hear? The hearing, you can imagine what the hearing's going to be tomorrow, what the cover-up's going to be tomorrow from the polite Republicans. They could probably have to get an overdose tomorrow of Prozac. Can you imagine this tomorrow, what a joke this has become? You know, if it was 100 years from now and we survived it, we could all laugh at it, but it's not 100 years from now. We haven't survived it yet. Blah, blah, blah. So let me repeat it. Shaffitz, Representative Jason Shaffitz, R. Utah, said he plans to ask Ms. Pearson how an alarm meant to alert officers to intruders could be silenced or turned down. Are you listening to this? Do you know what a big story this is? The congressman said two people inside the agency told him that boxes were silenced because the White House usher staff, whose office is near the front door, complained they were too noisy. A Secret Service official told the Post that the usher's office was concerned the boxes were frequently malfunctioning and unnecessarily sounding off, so they had them turned off. The alarm boxes inside the White House, which officers call crash boxes, can you believe this? Now, how come they didn't release the dogs? How come they didn't tackle him? How come they didn't shoot him? Where were the sharpshooters? And why did he get all the way The new revelations follow accounts provided to the Post last week detailing how Gonzalez, blah, 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 blah. See, he went through one level of security after another, and he got in there. In this incident, a plainclothes surveillance team was on duty that night outside the fence, meant to spot jumpers and give early warning before they made it over. But that team didn't notice anything. I guess they were out on a hydration break. I guess the plainclothes surveillance team was on the lookout for racism or homophobia. And they missed the fence jumper. They were looking for a homophobe or a racist. And the surveillance team, the White House Secret Service plainclothes surveillance team, didn't notice the man jumping the fence. Can you believe what I'm telling you? Every word is the truth. When that team of morons didn't notice Gonzalez, next there was an officer in a guard booth on the North Lawn. That moron couldn't reach Gonzalez. Then there was supposed to be an attack dog. I guess the attack dog had been turned off. They gave him tranquilizers? Then there's a specialized SWAT team to protect the president. Those idiots did nothing. Then a guard at the front door, that moron did nothing. So look, from my point of view, it's what I feared the first day. Sorry. I'm very sorry. This was an inside job. It's chilling. What I just read to you is frightening. Do you realize what I just read to you is the biggest breaking news of your life? White House fence jumper made it far deeper into the building than previously known. Now, why is this a big story? A, because the Secret Service and the government lied to you. Oh, hello. And B, because the president's life was in danger. And I want to repeat what I said last week. Although we disagree with everything he does, and we're sure he's a detriment to the survival of the United States of America, he's still the president of the United States, and we need him protected. And they didn't do their job. Why did the Secret Service not do their job? This leads back to conspiracy theories. Somebody on the inside knows how dangerous Obama is, and they did this on purpose. That's one potential theory. Don't rule it out just because I said it. What, because one of the leftist idiots didn't tell it to you? It can't be true? One theory is that they let it happen. They turned down all of the safeguards, and they let this guy in to do harm. It's a horrible thought, but it apparently happened because he got all the way into the White House. It's a miracle he was tackled at all. So now someone's head's got to roll, and I hope it isn't mine. I hope tomorrow at the oversight hearing they really fire somebody. Actually, they should replace everybody on duty. Should be thrown out. Well, who gave the orders, I want to know. This is like the Zagruda tape. Who gave the orders to stand down? Maybe it was the same people who said stand down at Benghazi. And no one's admitting that. And the embassy went up in flames and the ambassador got killed. No one knows who gave the stand down orders. We know that four generals were fired. Would you like the names of the four generals that were fired to cover up Benghazi? Because I have them in Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm holding back on telling you about the book until I'm holding my fire until it comes out next Tuesday, because I want you to go in and buy it in the bookstore to send the message to America that we know what they're doing to us and we're not going to fall for it. Did you hear what I just said to you? Do you understand the magnitude of this story? It came out in the right-wing Washington Post that the White House fence jumper, who the Secret Service told us was stopped at the door, no, he went all the way into the building. All the way in, he knocked over the stupid guard. Imagine what the guard looked like. Stop, stop. Oh, stop. I want you to stop. Every time a prisoner overpowers a guard and steals her gun, have you checked out who they're overpowering? In my day, a cop, you had to be a certain size. Guys used to hang from a bar the night before a police exam in New York City to become the right height. They didn't put in shorties. They didn't put in misfits and shorties. You had to be a certain height and tougher than the criminals. You had to be able to beat them down with your own hands. What else would you want a cop for? Okay, well, that's a different world. I get it. In those days, we were afraid of police. We were afraid of teachers. We respected the law. Not today. No. Nothing more. Oh, but I looked up the word fascist, by the way. I was correct. I found exactly... boy, that story is chilling. Actually, I don't know if I'll sleep again ever for the rest of my life. This is workplace violence, isn't it? Breaking into the White House? How would you define that, Mr. Holder? Would that be workplace violence? What is this? Here, fascist. Let me look it up again. Online Etymological Dictionary. Fascist. Originating in English, Italian form is an Italian word. Whether the full anglicization of the word is worthwhile cannot be decided until we know whether the things are to be temporary. Fasci. Groups of men organized for political purposes. Sounds like the government. Fasci. Groups of men organized for political purposes. Sounds very much like America. Had been a feature of Sicily since 1895 in the 20th century totalitarian sense. Probably came directly from this, but influenced by the Roman fascists. I was right. Which became the party symbol related fascistic. So fascists are bundles of sticks. Sticks. Fascists. F-A-S-C-E-S. I told you. See, old Doc Savage was right. This takes education, knowledge, much reading. You know, reading. Reading for his master's degree, reading for his master's degree, reading for his PhD. That's what we used to call it. He was reading for his degree. That's what we did it. Reading. Reading. We didn't just get it as an honorary gift because we gave a certain amount of money. So that's what it means, fascist, from Benito Mussolini. They're usually related to Mussolini and right wing. But it can apply in this case to something other than Mussolini or Hitler, meaning of the word fascism. How about lies, everyday lies? Is that a form of abuse? It's a form of mental abuse. How do you feel about the jumper? Kansas City, Dale, how do you feel about learning the fence jumper went right into the White House and they covered it up?
This guy's a probe. Some kind of probe. The real Patsy hasn't shown up yet. They're just testing everything right now so they can set somebody up later. That's the way I look at it.
Who could turn the whole Secret Service off? Who could do that?
Somebody in authority with the Secret Service, period.
But why would they do it? Let's take that scenario, that the Secret Service agency, the guy who was running that duty that day, not the head of it, she probably wouldn't have been on duty. She's not monitoring the White House. She's running the whole Secret Service all over the world. Okay, so whoever's in charge of the White House for that day turned off all of the early warning protections. Why? Why would he do that?
They're following the same scenarios back in the Kennedy administration. They got to find a patsy in there. It's either going to be against find somebody to go in there and...
Okay, I don't even want to think. Look, I'm sorry. We the people are very worried that it's reached this point in America. Dale, it concerns us, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, we may detest the man's policies and his lies, but we want him protected. We want to know who did this.
Absolutely.
Now, tomorrow is the hearing, Dale. Tomorrow is the hearing, Dale. This is huge news.
Absolutely.
Dale, I'm going to give you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War because I have only 20 copies left to give out this week, and you're one of them. I'm giving you a rare edition, and you should preserve it and show it to your friends. This could be the book that stops the coming Civil War. That's right. It could be. I hope it is. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We've been talking about the poor white woman whose head was cut off in Oklahoma by a black Muslim convert in the cover-up by the FBI and the government. We now have a new breaking story. We beat everyone in the news business. We got it from the right-wing Washington Post before anybody did. It's probably the biggest story of your life. The White House fence jumper made it far deeper into the building than previously known. The man who jumped the White House fence this month and ran through the front door made it much farther into the building than previously known. You mean they were lying to you? Overpowering one Secret Service officer, fire him. And running through much of the main floor, fire them, according to three people familiar with the incident. Why has no one been fired? Tell me why this government, so quick to punish American people who question them, has not fired one Secret Service agent. How come they haven't asked why the alarm box near the front entrance of the White House, which was designed to alert guards to an intruder, had been turned off? And it was requested, by the way, by the usher's office, said a Secret Service official who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Do you know how big this story is? Wait, it gets even worse. The female officer, oh, isn't that touching? It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. No, don't say that. Just as the female officer posted inside the front door appeared to be delayed in reacting to the intruder Omar Gonzalez was about to burst through. What, she engaged him in conversation? He had a knife in his teeth? Officers are trained that upon learning of an intruder on the grounds, often through the alarm boxes posted, they must immediately lock the front door. She couldn't figure that out. What, she have to consult with her superior, who was taking a hydration break somewhere, studying the affirmative action manual, studying the dehydration manual? After barreling past the guard immediately inside the door, Gonzalez, who was carrying a knife, ran up into the first family's living quarters and then ran into the 80-foot-long East Room. And do you have any, this is so big, I'm actually speechless. Finally, Gonzalez was tackled by a counter-assault agent. That agent should be given a Medal of Honor. Why didn't they shoot him? Excuse me, they killed an unarmed black woman. Remember I had the lawyer on last week when this story came out 2 weeks ago? Remember they killed an unarmed black woman who wasn't even near the White House? They shot her to death in the car. Park police and Secret Service. Not only were they not punished, they were given a commendation. It was a baby asleep in the back of the car. Not a word from the hustlers, Sharpton or Jackson, when that black woman was executed outside the White House. Remember? She had no gun. These cowards opened up on her, blasted her to death. Blasted her to kingdom come. They didn't say, step out of the car, ma'am. Show your hands. They killed her. She wasn't even on the White House lawn. This guy got in and they didn't kill him? Something's wrong. Gonzalez was tackled by a counter-assault agent in the far southern end of the East Room. The intruder reached the doorway to the green room. Blah, blah, blah. Secret Service officials had earlier lied and said he was quickly detained at the main entry. Agency spokesman Edwin Donovan said the office is not commenting due to an ongoing investigation, meaning they're finding out how to lie about this now. They're trying to figure out how to lie about the first lie. Where were the dogs? Where were the sharpshooters? Where were the roving teams? Where were the undercover agents? Who told them all to look the other way? Very frightening. Something's bad here. We the people are frightened to realize that somebody let this intruder into the White House and turned off the entire Secret Service. Do you have any idea what this means? Are you alarmed at the threat this poses to this republic? No, you're not alarmed. Go see a sports show now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We got to tell them to push back against the cynics. Prove everybody wrong who says that change isn't possible. Cynicism does not fix anything. Cynicism is very popular in America sometimes. It's propagated in the media. But cynicism didn't put anybody on the moon. Cynicism didn't pass the Voting Rights Act. Hope is what packed buses full of freedom riders.
Here we go.
Hope's
again.
What led thousands of black folks and white folks to march from Selma to Montgomery.
Knock it off. The same Animal Farm garbage. The same garbage. The same juvenile rhetoric. The same college-level drivel at the Congressional Black Caucus Convention. Not one mention of the poor white woman whose head was cut off by a black Muslim convert over the last week. But the big story right now, by the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation, is a major story came out. This is going to have ramifications that are deep. Remember the White House fence jumper? Remember we were told he was stopped finally at the door? No dogs, no guards, no guns, no snipers. If you burp outside the White House, you get whacked. This guy got into the White House with a knife. He overpowered one Secret Service officer. Just came out last hour, ran through the main floor, according to three people familiar with the incident. The woman in the front was bewildered and didn't stop him. The female officer posted inside the front door was delayed in her reaction. She didn't know what to do with Omar Gonzalez. In other words, she just went white-knuckle and got frightened. The alarms were turned off by the usher's office. The dogs were not released. The sharpshooters didn't shoot. The brave men on the lawn did nothing. Finally, he was tackled, and they didn't shoot him. So I'll tell you what the story is. Now I'm seeing it from the other side. I'm not going to tell you. Let's take a call. A D&WMAL in New York. I'm very excited right now because this is such a big story. It's beyond belief. How could people not be agitated by this story? When the Secret Service lied to America, when they said he was quickly detained at the main entry, now they're covering up that cover-up? Why did they not shoot him? They shot an unarmed black woman last year, or 2 years ago, remember? They executed her. No one went to prison. Nothing. Secret Service Director Julia Pearson had said the breach was unacceptable. But nothing's happened. She hasn't been fired. So there's going to be a hearing tomorrow. A hearing in the government or reform committee. Okay. Maybe they'll go heavier on the Prozac tomorrow and get really excited. I can't wait to hear this hearing tomorrow. Guys, I won't be able to sleep tonight. I want to find out how an alarm meant to alert officers could be turned off. I'd like to know why they turned it off and why they have not been fired for that. What is this, a joke? A Secret Service official told the Washington Post today that the usher's office was concerned the boxes were making too much noise. That's the new Obama teams. They don't like noise now. Let's see, that would be the equivalent of a fireman saying he can't take working on a fire truck because the siren scares him. The crash boxes freaked out the Secret Service. So that'd be like a fireman saying he wants to go out on disability because the noise of the truck scares him. Okay. WMAL in Washington, D.C. D, what do you make of this intruder getting all the way into the White House?
Dr. Savage, this makes sense to me because a month ago, the administration wanted green space surrounding the White House, and it met with opposition. In other words, they want to shore up this perimeter. Obama wants tanks in front of the White House.
Okay, so he wanted a cordon sanitaire going way out into the streets to keep everyone away from his personal residence, and he couldn't get it. So now what? Your theory is that the Secret Service let this guy in because he was of no threat. He was just a loose cannon nut. And then they tackled him at the last minute to scare us into saying, okay, we agree with the cordon sanitaire, and you can put tanks on the lawn?
Yes. And I always think back. back to Harry Reid's famous quote about he can smell the tourists. They despise the people. This is the people's house.
Do you remember what Obama did to the veterans of America, that during the government sequester, he put barbed wire around the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, and he let the illegal aliens congregate? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Why do veterans still vote for Obama? And why would any Democrat ever vote for I'm so angry right now. Why would any military family ever vote Democrat again? Tell me, what's wrong with them?
They're naive. They've been blinded. They don't see that we're no longer living in a constitutional republic. They refuse to acknowledge.
Okay, but wait, let's go back to this bitter, horrible story. An intruder gets over the fence, has a knife in his hand. His car had 800 rounds of ammunition in it. Remember that? He had been arrested twice before over the last 2 years. In this incident, a plainclothes surveillance team, which was on duty that night outside the fence, meant to stop jumpers and give early warning before they made it over, did nothing. They didn't even notice Gonzalez. And then it was an officer in a guard booth on the north lawn. That officer did nothing. There was supposed to be an attack dog. The dog did nothing. Supposed to be a specialized SWAT team and a guard at the front door. They did nothing. What explains all of this, D, is that they were all told to stand down, to let us all say the president is threatened. He needs a cordon sanitaire going two blocks out into the streets. Is that it?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so then my worst fears of a coming altercation, insurrection, civil war, are they potentially right or wrong?
Oh, gosh, this is so scary, Dr. Savage.
Okay, I have 29 copies left only of this rare first edition. You're going to get one of them, Stop the Coming Civil War, but I'm asking you, you must show it to friends before publication next Tuesday. This is it. I only have 29 copies. It's no joke. I hope I'm wrong. Did I tell you I had a dream? I had a dream, another one. It was shocking. It was frightening. It was Friday night. And the dream was so clear. I have very clear dreams. I told you I've done dream analysis, and I've made it part of my show. You say, well, you don't want to hear it. You're going to hear it. Unless you know who the man is you're listening to, don't listen to me. Go listen to Dan Rather's Blithering Friends. Go listen to Tom Brokaw's sports announcements now, doing specials.
This is Tom Brokaw. I have such a great voice.
Well, I don't have a great voice, but I have a great ability to discern what's going on. So listen to what the dream was. I dreamed I was in an audience of, I don't know who, shadowy figures, no faces, no names, no races. And I said to them, I'm not sure I know the difference between reality and fantasy because I write both fiction and nonfiction. And because I write fiction, I've had two best-selling novels. Maybe I don't know the difference between reality and fantasy. And the audience then broke into applause for Martin Scorsese, who appeared and came out and did a kind of like a pantomime of an act. And they were cheering him. It was like they turned away from me and were listening to Martin Scorsese and cheering him. And I said, okay, well, that's it. They like movies. They like fantasy. So maybe I'm in the wrong business. Maybe I shouldn't be giving them reality anymore. Maybe I should just give them fantasy. Sports talk, entertainment, slut talk, you know, the kind of stuff America feeds on. Which Hollywood moron bought what dress, which fell off her boob. This is what the country's been living on for so long because of the media moguls. I mean, maybe they don't want the truth. Maybe this is too much for them. That's what the dream was. That doesn't mean I'm going to alter my ability to talk, but I'm telling you, this is frightening. This is beyond belief. So we have two major stories. The beheading of a white woman by a black Muslim convert last week in Oklahoma, being covered up by the government covering up the break into the White House. Is the major media reporting it? Yes. Came out in the Washington Post in my last hour, and I broke the news on this show. Savage Nation will always do that. We will always do that if we get breaking news, which we did. What do you think was the reason that the Secret Service let this bizarre individual go all the way into the White House? What's the reason for that? WFTL in Florida. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to tell you about an incident that I had
in Washington, D.C., just about a year ago at the 1 Million Vet March. We were protesting in front of the White House, me and a couple of thousand vets, very peaceful. There was Japanese tourists walking through, women with babies. And then all of a sudden, I look over to the right, and I see D.C. riot police lining up, and they came in formation with batons to clear us out. Didn't give us any orders or anything, just walked into a crowd of veterans to bash us.
And where was this, Mike?
At the 1 Million Vet March. I drove up from Florida. We helped liberate the World War II memorials, and then we had a protest in front of the White House. This was
amazing.
October 13th.
Well, why would any veteran vote for a Democrat after this? I don't understand it. Veterans are seen as a threat to the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist regime. You know that, don't you?
Absolutely. I understand, and thank you for getting the word out. But, you know, I couldn't figure out. It took me a while thinking, you know.
Let me ask you, Mike, how many people do you have on your social media list?
On mine? I'm part of a group called American Patriots 3%. We probably have about 3,000 people.
Okay, I'm sending you Stop the Coming Civil War. Will you do me the favor of telling them the book is out next week? I need them to go into the bookstores and buy it and clean out the shelves so we send a message to the publishing industry and the media that even though they're blacking me out, there are people who know what the heck is going on?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for spreading the word and the alarm. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
But as I said this week at the United Nations, America's special not because we're perfect. America's special because we work to address our problems, to make our union more perfect. We fight for more justice. We fight to cure what ails us. We fight for our ideals, and we're willing to criticize ourselves when we fall short. And we address our differences in the open space of democracy. Well, with respect for the rule of law.
All right. Harassing conservative groups. Let's go down the list. That's before the Congressional Black Caucus, is an objective group, as you well know. Isn't the Congressional Black Caucus the most inclusive caucus in America? He likes openness and inclusion. How come the Congressional Black Caucus is called the Congressional Black Caucus? I mean, it begs the question. There's a Congressional Black Caucus, a Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Is there a Congressional White Caucus? No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask that question. I guess that would be illegal somehow. But so we have a beheader running around. He's shot by the factory owner, not covered by the media because that's an embarrassing fact. Now we learn in the last hour from the Washington Post, the right-wing Washington Post, that the intruder got all the way into the White House. No one did anything. What's this all about? What is actually going on? Does anyone know? Can you follow? Can you read the tea leaves here? Because I can. I can read the tea leaves. That's what I'm paid to do. Chuck on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. If you read the Chronicle Sunday, they also talked about the time, not too long ago, where the White House was shot up when Obama and Michelle were gone. And
what page was that on? Page 70? But anyway, yeah, I know the story. Secret Service bungled White House shooting response in 2011. That's when there were bullets fired at the White House, 700 yards away from the White House, correct?
That's correct.
And the man who did it was Oscar R. Ortega Hernandez, another Hispanic. What's that about?
Just luck of the draw.
just chance. I get it. It's another embarrassing reality that we can't talk about. President Obama and First Lady Michelle were away during the weekend, but their daughter, Sasha, was in the White House, the Post reports. So the Secret Service officers rushed to respond to the shots. Right? The officers complied even as Ortega sped away from the scene at 60 miles an hour. Wait, here's the killer. The supervisor apparently believed the gunshots had been a construction vehicle backfiring. Did you read that?
Yeah, that's correct. And he.
How could the Secret Service confuse gunshots for a backfire?
They're not that close, but sometimes you could, from my experience, at nighttime, if you weren't.
Well, isn't that their job to not make that mistake?
Well, what he did is he denied the reports from all the other agents that were around the White House that reported, including one female who had a round hit over her head.
And she said what? It was a backfire and a pebble flew it, or what?
He called it in as a possible.
She knew it was a gun. She actually knew it was a bullet. Wow. She must have an IQ of at least 90. They got a real smart one in that one. The bullet whizzed overhead, and she knew it wasn't a backfire. Well, there's one right there. They ought to make her the head of the Secret Service.
Well, she said
no, there you go. I mean, there's a bright one that they got. That's good news. They have someone with a 90 IQ. Give her some fish oil. She'd get 95 on a good day. Secret Service bungled White House shooting response in 2011. Amazing, amazing, amazing. That's why they fired the head of the Secret Service. Is because they said it was a backfire. Okay, and then they replaced the guy with a woman. So now what? They're going to fire her? So they replace a man with a woman. So now they have to replace a woman with a what? Who they put in charge of that? How about a former military counterintelligence officer? Why is the FBI calling the beheading of a poor innocent middle-aged white woman in Oklahoma workplace violence? Why did the Secret Service cover up the break-in at the White House just a few weeks ago? And say he got only as far as the front door. What's going on? Do you have an answer to those questions? Because I believe that we should talk about it. The phone number here is 855-497-2282. This is the Savage Nation. The website's michaelsavage.com. How do you feel about this? Does it bother you at all or not? Okay, we'll move on. It's that simple. W like a belch, like a burp. I hope the guy's living. He's like, help, help, help. Help! What happened to that call? Help! Let's have another piece of Obama while we're waiting. Any one of the clips, unfinished work, 17 would be good. This is a speech he gave at the Congressional Black Caucus after the beheading.
So we've got unfinished work overseas, but we've got some unfinished work right here at home.
Yeah.
After the worst economic crisis since the Great Congress. Depression.
Stop it. We've got to elect a new Congress and indict those that did this to America. That's the unfinished work. A tribunal to indict those who opened the doors to infected children from Central America. Indict those who flooded America with radicalized Muslims. Indict those who have broken down our borders, language, and culture. Indict those who are trying to start a civil war. There's a lot of unfinished work in America. And as you well know, the Republicans are just anxious to get in there and do the job. They're rolling their sleeves up, aren't they? Sure. Oh, yeah. You hear the snoring from Washington.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Are you saying that this is not really a war?
Well, what I'm saying is that we are assisting Iraq in a very real battle.
The parser-in-chief was on 60 Minutes broadcast last night. And people are criticizing Steve Croft, saying they were softball. By the way, I saw the opposite. Steve Croft's questions were hardball. Obama's answers were typical Obama, slithering out of every question. Because that's what he does. He's a slitherer-in-chief. The parser-in-chief wouldn't answer a single question. Don't blame Steve Croft. The man asked him, you're saying this is not really a war? And he gives him a double talk, like a reptilian answer. That's all. The real question is, how do you feel about the FBI calling the beheading in Oklahoma workplace violence? How do you feel about it? This was a beheading on American soil in the name of jihad. Did you hear me? Are you ready for the next one? In Oklahoma City on Friday, a fired Oklahoma City nursing home worker threatened beheading. Police say Jacob Mugambi Marithi, a native of Kenya, the president's homeland, was arrested Friday in Oklahoma City on a terrorism complaint. In a bizarre coincidence, a fired Oklahoma City nursing home employee was arrested Friday after a co-worker reported he threatened to cut her head off. Jacob Mugambi Marithi, 30, is being held in the Oklahoma County Jail on a terrorism complaint. His bail is set at $1 million. The co-worker said that Marithi threatened her while they were both working at the nursing home. A police detective wrote in an arrest warrant affidavit. She said Marithi identified himself as a Muslim. Muslim! Obama would say he's not a Muslim. Anyone who does anything that's negative is not a Muslim automatically. Just as any African-American or Hispanic-American or Chinese-American or Asian American who no longer votes Democrat is no longer of any value to the Democrat Party. Any Muslim who commits a violent act is no longer a Muslim. This is how the liberalism works. I wrote about this in a book 10 years ago. She said Marithi identified himself as a Muslim and said, quote, he represented ISIS and that ISIS kills Christians. Wait, listen to this. The detective told a judge in the affidavit. The woman said she asked him why they kill Christians. And he replied, this is just what we do, the detective reported. And so Obama's bringing more of them in? More illegal aliens from these countries where they want to kill Christians? The victim said Jacob asked her what time she got off work, and she replied by asking him in a joking manner if he's going to kill her. The detective wrote, Jacob said, yes, I was going to cut her head off. The victim asked Jacob what he was going to cut her head off with, and he said a blade. Then told her after he did it he was going to post it on Facebook. The victim said Jacob was serious when speaking and never made any statements that he was joking or playing around. The woman reported Marithi repeated the threat as she left work, saying in front of another employee that he was going to use a blade, the detective reported. The FBI said Friday about the tragedy and more that there is no current indication of any additional threat to residents of Oklahoma related to that incident. What good is an FBI that covers up terrorism like this? Can you explain this to me? Did you read the story in your local rag? No, you didn't. Which is why talk radio still survives. We didn't make up the story. Then why am I talking about it? To get you angry? Well, you could look at it that way. Maybe if you got angry, you could defend yourself. Is it possible maybe if you're angry enough, you might wake up, moron? What do you think life's about, retiring and going golfing? That's what you live for? Well, go golf if you can. Maybe the caddy will be from Nigeria. And he'll tell you if you didn't tip him right, that's why he cut your head off. That's all. That's what they do. Say, why did you cut the man's head off? That's what we do. Because the infidel didn't tip me properly. 855-400-7282. Why is the government covering up this beheading? Why is the government not calling it workplace violence? Why is the government not warning people to be on the lookout for jihadis around them? Why is the government bending over backwards to cover up every act of terror by a Muslim in America? Tell me why. I have a right to ask the question. Tell me who the racist is. The ones covering up the beheading? Or Michael Savage talking about defending yourself against the next beheader. See, my position is very clear. It's really very clear. It's very simple. It's straightforward. I don't mince words. The White House must address the Oklahoma beheading. I mean, he was there for Trayvon Martin. The great Obama came out for Trayvon Martin, didn't he? Holder went down to Ferguson to see if he could steam up the crowd and have them riot right through the election, didn't he? Where are they now? Trayvon Martin, Ferguson, Missouri. Why have we heard nothing from Holder, Obama, about the Oklahoma head cutting? I'm not being conspiratorial, but time and time again we see the same kind of treatment from the White House. Every time Islam is at the heart of violence, the White House is silent. I'll let you figure out why. Remember, he was stopped by the factory owner who shot him dead before he cut the next woman's head off. Now, this is a twofer why the media didn't cover it. One, he was black. Two, he was a Muslim. Three, it was an act of terror on American soil. And four, he was stopped by a law-abiding, Second Amendment-owning gun owner. Do you realize what a threat that is to the psychotic perverts who run the media? Now, I use the word pervert not in a sexual deviancy manner because I'm a sexual libertarian. I don't care what anyone does with their bodies as long as they leave the children alone and it's consensual. I really don't care. It's not my business. I call them perverts because they perverted the meaning of the word news. They perverted the meaning of the word journalism. That's why. That's a perversion. Do you understand that? There are other stories. North Korea admits Kim Jong-un is sick. Maybe he got a cat's claw caught in his gut. Look at the bottom of the story here. It says, blah, blah, blah. He's been seen walking with a limp. He's only a 31-year-old guy. Hasn't been seen since September 3rd, fueling speculation he's suffering from bad health. But then you look down on the story. It says, based on his gait, it appears he has gout. Yeah, you eat enough dog, man, that'll do it to you. It's like, well, the purine's in the dog's foot. Based on his gait, it appears he has gout, something due to diet and genetic predisposition that has affected other members of the Kim family. See, if he went on Michelle's diet, I mean, he could get rid of the gout. You can clean up gout. You knock off the dog and cat for a few months, you eat lettuce and tomatoes, and bingo, the next thing you know, you look like Al Sharpton. You lose 150 pounds. He might even get a gig on MSNBC if he cleaned up his act. Okay, beheading in Oklahoma. Suspect tried to convert others to Islam. Bingo. But the local police classified it as workplace violence.
Workplace violence, very interesting. Okay, here's some questions for the Savage Nation. I'm going to get like into serious now. I don't know what I want to be saying. Do you feel the Oklahoma knife attack and beheading was terror-related? Duh. No, I'll wait for the FBI to tell me. The suspect was stopped after he cut the woman's head off because the COO had a gun and was an off-duty sheriff. Do you think the media will ignore the fact? Give me another duh. What do you feel Eric Holder's legacy will be? I don't know. And I don't want to answer any. New colognes on a Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. Here's a story from Michael Walsh, New York Daily News. Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. Consumers will have the choice between scents named after Ernesto Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez. That's nice. So two murderers they picked now to make a perfume out of. It's unbelievable to me. Hugo in favor of the late Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez. Cuban biochemist Mario Valdez, who led the team to design the scent, said the project was a great challenge. Oh, yeah, we didn't want to create propaganda, right? Why don't you have an Osama bin Laden perfume where cologne smells like fresh blood? I mean, Che Guevara was a stone-hearted, psychopathic murderer who's been glorified by the American media. I love they made a movie about him, like Mr. Cool with a beard. I had a beard. I was collecting plants, trying to save rainforests. I wasn't killing people. But that leads me to a question. If it's a cologne name for Che Guevara, you can figure out what it would smell like. Or Hugo Chavez. Okay, but what would the cologne of Barack Obama smell like? And what would it be? What would the cologne of Eric Holder's scent, what would that scent be? That's not I don't think that's an off-color question. I'll give you an easy answer. I'll give you a softball. They're making a cologne honoring Che Guevara and Hugo Chavez, which is, you know, sickening. Okay? So I ask you, what would the cologne of our political leaders be? So we'll start with an easy one. John Boehner would smell of fear. That's all. Fear cologne. The Boehner. If you want to smell like you're afraid, you put on the Boehner cologne. What's this now? Arson threats and a visit from Louis Farrakhan. Billionaires battle for Bahamas beachfront. No one's going to care about that. I don't get that one. I don't care about that one. Here's an update on that female pilot, the moderate Muslim pilot. She's not a moderate. I mean, she's an extremist. The woman's fabulous. She's a combat-ready pilot. And listen to what she said. She says, it's important for us moderate Arabs, moderate Muslims, to step up and say this is a threat against us. This is more of a threat against us than it is against you. This is not just a threat to our countries. This is a threat to our way of life, she said. Can you believe this? Here is a girl, a Muslim girl, had wanted to be a fighter pilot since she finished high school, but had to wait until women were allowed in UAE. She had to wait 10 years for the decision to be taken. And so she enlisted, and she was a fighter pilot who led the airstrike against ISIS. Here's an update to that story. Her family disowned her right after she attacked ISIS. So I guess they're not the moderate Muslims. You know? Now, Obama's brought in hundreds of thousands of Muslims in the last year. Nobody knows if they've been vetted. No one knows who they are. If you think things are bad now, you wait and see what happens in the next few years. There's going to be hell to pay for this multicultural insanity that has moved like an ooze out of Obama's brain. You understand that? Yes? No? Maybe? Get what's going on? It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. I laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. That's what the Democrat socialist machine wants, is ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. Listen to this. Outbreak of a respiratory illness escalates among children and mystifies scientists. If you want to talk about nausea, now you have the Honduran flu. No, and the mystery scientists, the schmucks, all these guys have these high PhDs, MDs, and nobody knows where the mystery illness came from. What good are they then?
Tell me what good the CDC is if they'll cover up a thing like this. What good is the CDC if they won't even tell you that this flu that's spreading across America came from Obama's unaccompanied children? For God's sakes. Now, how do I know that? How does Mr. Smarty Alec, Michael Savage, know that? Listen, moron, here's how I know it. Listen, idiot, here's how I know it. Listen, skeptic, here's how I know it. Because the virus that is spreading is identical in DNA structure to a virus that's endemic to that region of the world. It's endemic to Nicaragua and Honduras. And I know that because it's been published. But the CDC is filled with political hacks, as is every public health department in the United States of America. Nothing but political hacks, political appointees who know exactly where this flu is coming from. Boy, are we in trouble. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Muslim who beheaded, meaning cut the head off, a poor, middle-aged, defenseless white woman in a factory. And America is pissed off at the FBI and the local police who are calling it workplace violence. They're especially pissed off at the Democrat machine. They're angry at Obama and Holder for stirring up hatred wherever it appears that they can do so, and yet defending radical Muslims whenever it appears that a Muslim's involved in terrorism. This is a terrorist event. And yet even the Christian Science Monitor, which, as you well know, is run by psychotic liberals, has a headline, "So far there is no evidence that Alton Nolan, the man who was accused of beheading a coworker in Moore, Oklahoma, was had any formal connection with terror groups." What kind of nonsense is that? What do you mean formal connection with terror groups? You morons, you. This is not the Christian Science Monitor. This is the anti-Christian Wicca Monitor. The anti-Christian Wicca Monitor, that's who took over the Christian Science Monitor. They know what this is. They know exactly what this is. How do you feel about this? You feel good that the FBI is covering it up? Do you feel good the government won't talk about it? Do you feel good that your newspapers are talking about the next starlet slut and her workplace wardrobe, whatever? I'm sick of this. Alert America is talking about the beheading, an innocent middle-aged white woman, cut her head off. He then went to stab, and he did stab, another white woman in this poor poultry plant, tried to cut her head off. He was only stopped because the owner of the factory is an off-duty sheriff who shot him dead. And yet the FBI is covering this up, calling it workplace violence. The media is asking if he did it because he was fired and he was angry. This is a nightmare. The White House must address the Oklahoma beheading. Did you hear me? Another scandal. Only this time there aren't any minorities to latch onto and turn into victims, or are there? They're turning the guy who cut a woman's head off into a victim. The rabble race mongers in the media and the government are saying it was workplace violence. Instead of calling it what it is, a terror attack on our soil by an Islamic murderer, it's been called workplace violence while the so-called FBI searches for terror ties. Why are they covering this up? Why hasn't Eric Holder come out strongly against this act? They speak out when the facts are muddy all the time. Trayvon Martin, Ferguson, Missouri, why not Oklahoma? I am not being conspiratorial. But time and time again, we see this kind of cover-up from the White House every time. Radical Islam is at the heart of violence, and this White House is complicit by being silent. I'll let you answer that question yourself as to why. I'd now like to direct you to michaelsavage.com, where you have 5 more days to buy my book at 50% off. That's right, only 5 days to buy it at half price on BarnesandNoble.com. And then next week, I'm counting on you to go into the bookstores and clean out the shelves and send the message that we know what's going on and we want you to stop the coming civil war. Meanwhile, on the Drudge Report, the Iowa Senate is clashing over immigration and amnesty in their first debate. The President of Israel, the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is warning the world about Iran while we're making nice to Iran. He knows very well indeed what they have in mind. The shock of all these stories is that the local newspapers around America are not covering the beheading story. They've buried it. I would say shame on the San Francisco Chronicle, but there is no San Francisco Chronicle. Not at all. It's not a chronicle of San Francisco. It's a chronicle of a few psychotics. It's the chronicle of a few left-wing fanatical anti-American, anti-female, anti-woman, anti-family, anti-church, anti-police, anti-military, anti-American, so-called writers at the Chronicle. They won't even cover the beheading story. All they want to do is talk about Ferguson, Ferguson, Ferguson. Shame on you, San Francisco. There's not a journalist in the whole city. Well, on those fine words, this is Michael Savage saying, keep your head on your shoulders because somebody wants to take it off. Good night and God bless America.
Savage.